This slide. Cool. Hey, guys. Yep, so 1 week to prepare. Nah, we're all good. So tonight I'm going to talk about the one-day win trap. So Pastor Roger thinking I'm going to give wisdom about marriage in my 2.5 months of being married. But yeah, it is really funny being on this side, I guess, of being married, and that's kind of, I guess, where this thought got birthed. That's part of the talk, but no, I'm not. But hold on. Andy. But kind of that. So I guess we're always looking at the next thing. That is, yeah, one of the points. So with our journey, obviously, it's been, 2.5 years in total. But, you know, you start a journey of a friendship and then you're thinking, when is he going to ask me? Oh, friendship, yeah. When is he going to ask me out? And everyone's asking that question. And then you get asked out, and then when is he going to propose? And then he proposes, and when are you going to get married? And then now we're married, and now it's when are you going to have children? And, like, it continues. Not only in that situation, but just we can have these goals in life, I guess, and then you get them, and then you're always looking at what's next. You can fall into the trap of doing that. So that's just what I want to talk about tonight. And I've got a few examples. So next slide. So not only being married, but so heaps of examples. So I even started thinking about my life then. I was like, oh, well, how has this been going since I was little? So, you know, you might be, when I get a puppy then, or a kitten, then I'll be happy. And then you get the kitten or the puppy, and then you're like, oh, I have to walk this thing and feed it, and it poos, and I've got to pick up the poo, or mum has to. And it keeps me awake at night, and you're like, oh, all right. Or if you're at school, sometimes you could be like, if I'm friends with that person, then I'll be happy. Then I would have made it, like, they're, you know, the popular one. And you might become friends with them, and maybe you have to act a certain way to be their friend, or you realise they're maybe not as nice as you thought, or, yeah, it's just not as satisfying as you thought that experience would be. When I finish school and get a job, then I'm going to be happy. Yeah, you know, more school. And then you finish school and get a job, and you have to show up every day, and you only get 4 weeks of holidays in the whole year. You're like, I want to go back to school. No. Or you want to go to uni and, you know, study, and that'll be awesome. And then you do go to uni, but then you've got to give up your social life a bit because you've actually got to study, and there's exams and assignments, and there's a cost associated with that as well. You may want to get a house. So, like, yeah, it's awesome. Such a great goal. I want to have a house. And then you get a house, and then you have to pay the mortgage off for 35 years. And you have to mow the lawns every week, and you've got to paint the house and look after it and clean it and maintain it. And there's, like, a lot associated with that amazing dream as well. I want to have a spouse. Yay! That's obviously an awesome goal, and lots of people have that goal. And then you get your husband or wife, and then there's... that this is not like a negative thing, it's just that it gets better. Hold on. It's just that if that's your goal and you have rose tinted glasses, I guess, and then you get into it, this has not happened, obviously, it's only been 2 months, but in any relationship, it takes work and effort, and there's, you know, it's just relationships. But if those are your goals and then you get them, and then there's always things that maybe aren't as satisfying as you thought they might be, and that's because God is the only thing that does satisfy you. But yeah, so from that, I just want to talk about four things. It's not like an exhaustive list, but I guess four things that I have thought that helped me live a satisfying life, I guess, and hopefully it might help you. So the first one is this it. So you get all these things and you're like, oh, is this it? But yeah, next one. Well, second one. So choose joy. So basically you choose to be joyful. We'll go to that one next. So my first one was meant to be. So the number one thing that is satisfying is that Jesus is the only one who satisfies. So all of these things are great, but they're never going to fully satisfy us because we're created for Jesus and God to satisfy us first. And actually just in worship I got this random thought, so this is going to sound kind of random. It's as if, so imagine a starving third world child that's really starving, and you give them a lollipop or candy floss or chocolate or something like that, like, they're not going to be able to appreciate that. That's not going to satisfy them or fill their hunger. And it's the same with us. Like, God is the one who has to satisfy us first, and it's only once we're satisfied that we can actually appreciate those other things or enjoy them. Like, them on their own are almost meaningless. Like, they're not going to actually satisfy us or do anything. That's too small for me to read, so I'm going to read just some verses up here as well. So Jeremiah 31:25 says, "I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint." And John 4:13-14, which is Jesus speaking to the woman at the well, says, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Yeah, so just only once we've got Jesus do those other things actually bring any meaning into our lives. So they're not necessarily bad in their own right or negative, but they just have their right place in our lives. And it's when we get that order out of sync, or we look to those things to satisfy us, that's when we actually suffocate those things. So if you're looking to those things or those people to fill that hole, the very thing you want, like, is unattainable, and so you end up suffocating it, basically. So, yeah, those relationships and other goals in life, I guess, I think only thrive once you've got Jesus as the number one, as the thing satisfying you first. Cool. Number two. So choose joy. I often think that joy, to most of an extent, is a choice. So you can be going through all sorts of situations, and maybe life isn't so great sometimes, but I guess you know that God works all things together for your good. So if you are in a situation that's not ideal, you know that it's obviously not the end then, because God is going to work something good out of it. So Philippians 4:11-13. "For I have learnt to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation." And so it's not necessarily being happy and like a false happiness, but it's just that confidence in knowing that God's in control. And so out of that you can be joyful, knowing that, yeah, he has a plan, even if it can seem dark and you're not quite sure what it is. You can have confidence that he knows. And so, yeah, if we keep our eyes on him, yeah, good will come along. So, yeah, keep being joyful. Cool. The next one. Live in the now. This has been a big challenge for me. So, yeah, I guess with Danny again, it can be really easy to always be looking for what the next step will be. And you can often miss the season that you're in. I think God spoke to me about that a lot when we were dating. But yeah, you can get really distracted by wanting the next thing, or even now it could be easily distracting thinking about future plans or when we will have children or anything like that, but you miss what God's doing in your current season. And I think it's almost like a video game. I think you can only go to the next level once you've completed the one you're on. It's like God will only move once he's satisfied that you've matured into what you need to mature to handle that. And so if you're distracted and not actually growing and stewarding where you are, it'll just even take longer. So, yeah, you really do need to just focus on the season you're in. And we don't even know what is going to happen. This is the crazy part I've realized. Like, you can think you're on a certain path and then God just has completely different plans. Like, so it's ridiculous even trying to figure out how it's going to work out. So those verses kind of sum that up too. "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." And Proverbs 27:1, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." So really focus on living in the moment. Like, you can obviously have hopes and dreams, but where you're planted in that season is what you need to kind of, yeah, just really be diligent with, I guess, and focus on. Cool. Love others. Classic. But this is so true. Like, often your problems or things you're going through can be put in the right perspective if you focus on other people. So if you're serving and focusing on loving others and lifting them up, it brings its own satisfaction, its own joy that you don't get if you're just focused on what you're wanting or missing out on or what you're going through. It really, kind of silly example, but it happened recently. just on Friday night. This is just a weird example, but like it was a really long week. I was just tired. One of those nights where you get home. Sorry, Sash. And I was like, oh, yeah, we've got youth tonight. And like just lacking the energy or the enthusiasm to kind of want to go. Sorry, I'm just being really honest. And I was like, if youth was cancelled tonight, that would be all right. But anyway, we obviously went along. And it was such an incredible night. And Dan and I both got home like buzzing. And we like had awesome chats with the youth and just like a really fun night. And I don't know, it just made me think, I was like, yeah, you really do need to persevere through those emotions and through those times when you're feeling selfish and actually serve and love other people, and you get replenished. It's like you're living out that principle that God has told you to love others, and through that, He satisfies you. And like, yeah. Anyway, some verses for that. So above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. I think it said. Oh, yep, we'll get to that one. And then I think the other one talks about debt. Just talk amongst yourselves. No, don't do that. yeah, thank you. Do not boast. Oh, no. Yep, we're getting there. Cool. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Now, I thought that was a really cool verse. I was like, wow, so let no debt remain outstanding. You're not meant to have any debt, but you have this one debt, and that is, what a command, to love others. And in that way, you fulfill the law. So it is such a biblical principle, and I've really found if you do actually do that and love others, it's you like end up being so satisfied yourself. It's pretty cool. But yeah, so the next one is just like, it's a bit of a wordy one, but it's a part of Psalms that I think kind of sums this all up, and I just really love it. I read it quite often, and yeah, I'll just read it out. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And yeah, that, I guess, just is all about keeping your eyes on God and trusting, even when you're asleep or you don't know what's happening, like, God fills you with joy, and he's not going to let anything that you can't handle happen to you. With him by your side, you'll conquer things. So yeah, just kind of, that's most of what I have to say. But yeah, the main thing is just keeping focus on God and knowing that he is the one who satisfies you, and that frees you to really enjoy and flourish in everything else in life. Yeah, just choosing joy and choosing love, really. Yeah, the old Bible summed up. But yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Steph. It's so true, isn't it? We can always be looking for the next thing, and actually it's having that peace in our heart that really counts in the long run. So how about if we stand and let's just continue to worship, and anyone would like some prayer to